Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Shabbat HaGadol, the greatness of the divine. This week, we're sending out three different podcasts. The first was already sent out, and it includes links to five different videos all about Pesach, tidbits from the Haggadah, and they include teachings from some of our favorite podcast presenters and other members of the Pardes faculty. So I hope that you can check that out. Look them up at the podcasts.pardesusa.org website. Also, in addition to this podcast, I'm going to be sending out another one, which will include a video that you can watch on your iPhone or other portable device or on your computer. And the video is only a minute or so long and gives an overview of the executive seminar in Jerusalem this coming summer. I do hope you decide to look into the executive seminar, find out more information about it, and then decide to come. You will have a wonderful time, and you deserve it. Now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells discusses Shabbat HaGadol, the greatness of the divine. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Our Parsha, Parshat Acharei Mot, is also Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat preceding Pesach. In his work Eish Kodesh, written during the war in the Warsaw Ghetto, the Pizetzner Rebbe, Rabbi Kolonimus Kalman Shapira, writes about this question of what is the nature of this Shabbat HaGadol? Why is this Shabbat called the Great Sabbath? He says, "Ha'inyan shel Shabbat HaGadol, ha'miramez lanu ulematzavenu yecholiot." He says, this issue of Shabbat HaGadol, of the Great Sabbath, it actually hints to us into our situation in some way. Ki'ita b'gmara, yoma samech tet amud bet, ala pasuk, v'yivarech Ezra et Hashem Elokim HaGadol. For the Gemara in Yoma comments on the verse, which says, "And Ezra blessed God," the Tetragrammaton, Yud Kei Vav Kei, "the great God." And the Gemara asks, "My Gadol, what is the issue of Gadol? What does it mean to call God the great God, the big God?" Amar Rav Yosef Amar Rav, "Shegidlo b'shem miforash." Rev Gidel Amar, "Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min olam v'ad olam." Ad kan lashon Gemara. So, Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav, he greatened or exalted or something like that, made great God through the explicit name, through the Tetragrammaton, through Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Rav Gidel said, what does that mean? He says, blessed is the God of Israel, right, Hashem, the God of Israel, from now to forever, from this world to the next world. So far is the statement of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara has to say. So the Pizetzner asks, "Hine, ben lamar ben lamar, kra pasuk oto yiparach, b'shem gadol, mipnei sheYisrael gadluhu." Says, whichever position we take, the verse itself calls God by the name Gadol, calls him great, because Israel exalted him. Israel made God great. Rav Yosef Amar Rav, the position of Rav Yosef and Rav, "Mipnei shed gadlo b'shem u'mfarash, v'Rav Gidel Amar mipnei ha'pasuk baruch v'chulei shamru," right? They each gave their particular positions according to their interpretation. "Ki rak im shem havaya kara Hashem et atzmo." For what we recognize is that God only calls himself or herself by the Tetragrammaton, by the name, what they call Shem Havaya. Right, this name of, literally the name of being, the name of beingness. "V'yedaber Elokim v'chulei ani Hashem, shehu yiparach gila oto." Right, as when God said, spoke and saying, "I am Yud Kei Vav Kei," when he revealed himself. "Masha'in ken sha'ar shemot," which is not the case with the rest of the names. "Yisrael kanohu," right, Israel gave him this name. "Adam harishon karu adon," right, the first human being, Adam, called him Adon. "Avram Avinu Adonai," Avram Avinu called him Master, Lord. "V'chana Adonai Tzvaot," and Chana called him the Lord of Hosts. "K'mo shekatub b'Gemara," as the Gemara explains. Yisrael kuru b'shemot elu v'hu yibarach nikra b'hem. Israel calls him these names, and he is called by them. He responds to them. Mitgale u'mitavlesh mitlabesh u'mitpa'er b'hem. He is revealed, and he is enclosed, and he is glorified in them. Ki itame rav hazaken, for the sagely rabbi, that is the Bala Tanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, said, Al v'titen lanu Hashem Elokeinu ba'ahava. On this phrase, right, we say it in davening, that God will give it to us in love. She'et Hashem natan lanu, ad kan l'shor kodesh. That is, he reads it, as is classically the case hyperliterally, v'titen lanu Hashem Elokeinu ba'ahava. That is, our God, Elokeinu, titen lanu, gives us Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, gives us God's very essence in love. It is God which is given over into our hands. We are given God. In a sense, we have this tremendous power to determine the very nature of God. V'kivan shev kivyachol et atzmo natano, and because, as it were, he gives himself to us. L'chen anu yicholim l'chanoto b'shmot. V'hem nasim shmot ha-gadoshim shenikra b'hem. Therefore, we are able to call him names, to give him names. And they become holy names by which he is known. So it's really quite a startling claim in a way. That is, we give God names, we give God qualities, and not simply as a sort of human event in a certain sense, but in so doing, they become sanctified and become God's nature. God becomes called by them. And in a sense then, we make the divine what it is. We name it and in a sense determine its essence. We have the power to determine the divine's very nature. Yet on the other hand, each of our names, each of the ways in which we name God, such as Gadol, the Great, is only one particular expression of divinity. That is, we can only ever name things because such is the quality of names in a dualistic, particularistic way, picking out some particular quality or aspect or vision or experience of the divine that we have had. But God's real name, the only name which God calls God's self, is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is Yud and He and Vav is He. A name which is being, which means was and is and will be, which is becoming, which is passing, which is transformation. It is the very word, it is sort of a combination of all the words of being and coming into being. That is, God in God's very essence cannot be held down. In a sense, then, this true name is not a name at all, but a name which, in a sense, escapes the very logic of naming. It's a name which does not pin anything down and does not specify in any way. And yet we, of course, need some kind of particularity to our relationship to the divine. And so we are able to give those meanings and names to the divine, which allow us to access, in some ways, our own particular experience of divinity. And then the Pizetzner continues. Uvezet plige Rav v'Rav Gido. And this actually was the basis of the disagreement, that is the naming of these two verses concerning this question of what does it mean to call God Gadol, between Rav and Rav Gido. Rav amar b'nei shir gidlo b'shem u'mifarash. V'Rav Gido amar, shelo b'vada tzadikim gadolim uvehit galut gdola levada she'etab b'mikdash. K'shem u'mifarash rak b'mikdash amru. Hu yiparach mitgadel. Ragam ba'omram Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min olam va'ad olam. Af shelo amru b'shem u'mifarash, v'lo igyu l'madrigat ha'kohen b'mikdash. That is, what's the basis of their disagreement? Rav said that they glorified, sanctified, greatened God, literally. They made him great, they made him big, through the explicit name, through Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But Rav Gido said, no. It's not only that Tzadikim, the great Tzadikim, in the great revelation, which was in the Beit HaMikdash, because the Shem HaMeforash, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei itself, was only actually expressed and pronounced in the Mikdash, right? It's not only through that that God, the Blessed One, is greatened, is exalted. Also in our saying, something much more similar. Blessed be the God of Israel from now to forever. Even though they didn't say the explicit name, the Shem HaMeforash, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And even if they didn't get to the level of the Kohanim, right, the Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash, who would say explicitly the divine name. Even if one wasn't at that level, Mikol Makom, Kivan Shemru, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shekiblu Kedushat Hashem Al Atzman V'Yisrael, Elokei Yisrael Yoter Me'asher Mikodem. But in any case, because they said, blessed is the God of Israel, right, Hashem, the God of Israel, that they accepted upon themselves the divinity of God and upon Israel. That is, they recognized the divinity of both themselves and Israel. Therefore, the God of Israel, Elokei Israel, was in fact more the God of Israel than was true prior. So it's an interesting distinction here. If the claim is that there's a capacity for us to name God and in that naming actually transform the divine in some way and say something essential about the nature of divinity, the disagreement between Rav and Rav Gidel here is based on who is it possible to do that for? For Rav, it's only the great tzaddikim, or the kohanim, in the Beit HaMikdash, who are able to have that kind of transformative effect on divinity. But Rav Gidel instead says, the sort of the condition, the position that the Pizetzner really explains more fully, is that this actually possibility is available for everyone. And what's the key to that possibility? The key is that we call God Elokei Yisrael. That is, that we accept upon ourselves and upon Israel divine sanctity. That is, the key to our ability to transform the divine is to recognize that the divine is not external to us, but rather to recognize our own divine nature. As he says, Shekiblu Kedushat Hashem Al Atzman V'Yisrael. They accepted the divine sanctity on themselves and on Israel. They recognized that this divine sanctity was already part of themselves and part of their nation. It is precisely then that when we recognize that we ourselves are God, that we are divine, then we realize our capacity to transform divinity, to transform God in this world. And in particular, what we transform is the divine's relationship with ourselves. That is, what we do is Elokei Yisrael Yoter Me'asher Mikodem. God becomes the God of Israel more than she was before. B'zeh Nikra'u Yiparach Gadol. And in this way, God is called great. God is literally exalted, made great, because he is made more the God of Israel than he was previously. V'chol Ish Yisrael Afilu Hanamuch K'shemekabel al etzmo ol machut shemaim u'mitkadesh yoter b'kdushav u'va'avada Hashem mikfi shaya hu yiparach nikra ayadei zeh gadol. And he says, every Jew, every Israelite, even the lowest one, right, it doesn't matter really what you are like, when that person at a moment accepts upon himself the yoke of heaven and sanctifies himself to a greater level with holiness and with divine service, more than he was before, then the Blessed One is called through this great or greatened. So it's possible for anyone. It's really a profound statement. It's not only for certain people who have reached great certain spiritual levels, etc., etc. Every single person at any moment, when they simply do the essential act of recognizing divinity and accepting that divinity upon themselves and then sanctifying themselves more through holiness and through in fact their spiritual work, then through this they in fact make God exalted, they make God great, they give that name Gadol to the divine. But to be able to do this, to sort of be able to accept this divinity, there's actually a kind of prior condition which Rabbi Shapira mentions. He says, V'gam kol ish Yisraeli, k'shoved et Hashem kafi yicholto, im domelo she'avorato dayolo, az nisharu matzavo shehu. But he says, every Israelite, when he serves God according to his ability, right, according to his level, if it seems to him that his avodah, his service, his spiritual practice, his work, in whatever way he does that work, is sufficient for him, it's like, oh, it's enough, I'm doing as much as I can, this is what I can do, then he stays in his situation, right? If he thinks that what he's doing is enough, then actually he's stuck. He's profoundly stuck. There's no possibility of change and transformation. This acceptance of divinity, this sanctification which is possible for each one of us, will not come if he is satisfied in the place he is, if he is content. Ma she'en kein k'shemishtokek la'avado yoter, v'lid gadesh yoter b'kdushato yiparach, az el yodei ha'tshuka mamshich lo yoter or mimarom mikadel. But this is not the case when a person yearns in his service, in his work, in his practice, for more, to be sanctified to a greater extent in God's sanctity. Then through that yearning, through that desire, he pulls down upon himself more light from the exalted heights, and he himself is exalted. He grows. He is made greater. And when the person himself is made greater, then also God is called through this gadol. God is called great. God is called exalted. So the key element here is actually this deep desire for transformation. Right? He has to have this desire for transformation. And when the person has that desire for transformation, then that actually translates into the transformation of divinity. That desire is not relegated only to the person, but our own personal transformation and the desire for that transformation automatically affects the divine. Because, of course, as he said previously, that divine is in fact already present within us. And so our transformations, every moment of that personal transformation is in fact never an isolated event. In fact, every personal transformation we go through, every time when we are exalted, we expand ourselves in some way, we realize something new, we open our hearts and our souls and our minds, that expansion, that opening and transformation has a deep ramifications for the whole world. And then he continues, my gadol, so he says my gadol, right, which is the question of the Gemara, what does it mean gadol? Al yedei she'emar baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min olam v'ad olam, Olam Elyon Ve'olam Tachton. He says, what does it mean, Gadol? Through saying, blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, from the world, or from now, from the past until eternity, from this world to the next world, it means from the upper world to the bottom world. She'al yedei tshukatam bo'olam shehu b'chinat nachal tachton, nafshenu chikta l'aronai, because through their desire in this world, which is the aspect of the lower river, the lower stream, which here is represented as Malchut in Kabbalistic languages, which is that our souls desire God, but here particularly the name of God, which is corresponding with Malchut. Nimshach lahem or me'olam alayon. The light of the upper world is drawn down onto them. Ukshehem nitgadlu, gamhu yibarach nikra gadol. And when they are exalted, when they are magnified, when they are made greater, so too he, the Blessed One, is made greater. So that's what it means, this notion of greatness. It's that through this positing or this seeking out, this desiring of this relationship with divinity, it's through the desiring of the relationship that the relationship is formed. If we feel distant from the divine, all we need to do actually, essentially, is deeply desire that connection. And through the desire itself, the connection comes into being. Because through that desire itself, this, in the Kabbalistic language, this lower flow, this lower stream is activated through this desire for God. And through that, this upper stream, the upper light responds, and that connection is made. And whether the metaphysical language makes any sense to us, it's simply noticing in our own experience that often when we feel distant, it's the very desire for connection which makes the connection possible. Our willingness to not just want the connection, but to open to it and be prepared to meet it, whether it's with another human being, another creature, or with the divine. And so then the Pizetzner says, L'chein gam b'mitzrayim kol zeh, shekol ha'am lo asu mitzvot, lo yergishu b'or yoter gavoa k'sheyishto kakulo. Said, and so it was like this way in Egypt, because the whole nation there didn't do mitzvot, right? They hadn't been given any mitzvot yet. The first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Pesach, right? That this month will be the first month for you, and then you're going to do Pesach on particular days, etc. And therefore, they didn't feel this light which was higher, which was greater, which they could then yearn for. That is, right, the mitzvot is saying here, not only do they make us experience something, but in fact, they help us realize that there's something beyond our mundane experience that we can have access to and that we can yearn for. Masha'en kein b'Shabbat hazeh. But he said that's not the case this Shabbat HaGadol. Shaya asiri l'chodesh, which was the 10th of the month. V'lachu lahem seh l'Pesach. Right? And they took for them on the 10th of the month already this offering, right? This Paschal lamb for Pesach. Kfar itchil lishtokek l'or yoter gavoa. V'yadei zeh nitgalu hem. V'gam hu yiparach nikra gadol. V'yadei zeh nikra gam ha-Shabbat, Shabbat gadol. Shabbat ha-Gadol. So he says they took for them like this Paschal lamb, right, this sheep. And because they had access for a moment to a mitzvah, they actually began to desire this greater light, this higher light. And through this, they were themselves expanded. They were made greater. They were made more exalted. And through this, God, God's self, was also called great because God, God's self was exalted. And through this, this Shabbat is called Shabbat HaGadol. That is, what is the meaning of Gadol here? What does it mean here to call Shabbat Shabbat HaGadol? He says it's very interesting. It's not coincidental that the Shabbat is the Shabbat before Pesach. That is, Shabbat Gadol here is not yet liberation. Right? It's not the liberation of Pesach. But it's the beginning of liberation. It's the first step to liberation. It's the step we have to take to make the liberation and freedom which we are promised on Pesach possible. And that is the step of the recognition of our enslavement, the recognition of our distance, and our deep yearning for that which we lack. It's our recognition in the experience of the beginnings of the first mitzvah to see, oh, there's something beyond my current experience. There's something beyond this current moment. There's something which I haven't had access to yet, but can have access to in the future. And through this yearning, through the yearning itself, this greatness and exaltedness, which is the nature of God and the nature of Shabbat HaGadol, is then made possible for us. So can we take this Shabbat HaGadol, to ask ourselves the question, can we notice what is it that we deeply yearn for? Those places of disconnection, those places where we feel lost in some way, those places where we do not see the blessing and magnificence and majesty and exaltedness and wonder and mystery of life, the Gadol of life and the Gadol of divinity. We don't have to actually fix that. We don't have to make ourselves see it. It's just in genuinely recognizing in ourselves that distance and our yearning for connection, that the connection itself and the liberation starts to come. So may we all be blessed this Shabbat and this Pesach. We're just starting to feel wherever we can that yearning and that opening to the experience of the greatness of the divine.
Thank you, Rabbi. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.